welcome to another edition of American Exposé. It is the 3rd of November, 2005. My guest could very well be calling in right now, so that might be why the line's busy. I did tell him to do that. Okay, very good. We have situations that are very obvious on our website. Thanks to Vicky, we've put an addition, Outsourcing of American Jobs. All of her research and work is there regarding that, or most of it anyway. The outsourcing of American jobs and the insourcing of American jobs as well is coming at us as well. Here we see from Reuters, Dennis and his staff, D-A-H-S, Dennis and his staff. President George Walker Bush said ahead of the 34-nation summit of the Americas in Argentina that his proposal for a sweeping free trade zone in the hemisphere has stalled, and it is time to focus on a global trade agreement cutting agricultural subsidies. Now, what are we talking about? The UN system. That's what this is all about. Speaking to a group of journalists before his visit to Argentina, Brazil, and Panama. Isn't that remarkable? Bush said he had not changed his mind about the need for a free trade agreement of the Americas, but that for now the global trade talks known as the Doha Round had taken precedence. Now, this has nothing to do with Bush. Bush is just the spokesperson for the situation that's being planned for. He's just the occupier of the White House. He's just the man, just like the rest, just like Hillary Clinton will be when she's in office. She'll be given marching orders to do what she's told to do. It's just like Governor Rick Perry, and they say this this NAFTA corridor section in his part of Texas is his idea. That's baloney. It has nothing to do with his idea. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't the idea of Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry of Texas. And the point about Bush here, he's just following orders. Just absolutely, totally incredible how all this goes today as we're being maneuvered and manipulated on a constant basis. Isn't it amazing, as I'm covering this article, I get thrown off to another direction on the computer. I'm going to have to get a new computer. There's just no doubt about it. This one I have, it's just like a toilet for money. It just keeps gobbling up money and doesn't get any better. So the way things turn and move and manipulate themselves today, and I just don't know how the people doing the website, Dennis and his staff, can come up with so much information. It's just beyond me. So Bush has stated here, the FTAA has stalled. I agree. On the other hand, at this point in time, the Doha Round really trumps the FTAA as a priority, because the Doha Round not only involves our neighborhood, but involves the whole world, end quote. Well, that should make us all feel real cozy and fuzzy and happy. As we experience outsourcing of jobs and giving jobs to foreigners in our country. And we're going to have Rob Sanchez to talk about this today. He'll be with us upon our return. I'll give you the website when we return, which is a partner to our website on AmericanExpose.com. So stay with us. Lots of unfortunate information coming up, and let's see what we can do about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the beginning of the broadcast. Here we see the pledge line, 800-724-2719. That's the pledge line to pledge your support to this network as the bills keep coming in. The pledge line number is 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. And the link is 112 or 116 to pledge your support to the network. I see a website, Zazona Directory. Actually, it's Zazona.com. Z-A-Z-O-N-A. Z-A-Z-O-N-A.com. This is the website of Rob Sanchez. Rob, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, it's great to be on your show.
Thank you for having the time to come with us today to explain your concern about our country at this point in time. Why don't you give a little background of yourself and what got you into this direction of trying to help our country regain its republic?
Well, let me begin by saying that I live in Arizona in the Phoenix metro area, and I have for quite a long time. And I started my career as an engineer. Well, I found my career starting to spiral downward in terms of wages and job opportunities. And then I began wondering why that is happening. Because at the same time everybody was saying there is a vast shortage of engineers, I couldn't get a decent job to save my life. So that sent me on a search, and I had an epiphany of sorts when I read an article by Dr. Norm Matlof called Debunking the Myth of the Software Engineering Shortage. Well, the whole gist of his paper was that we don't have a shortage because we're importing so many foreign engineers and programmers that what we really have is a massive job glut. Now, I started thinking, you know, that doesn't make sense that the government would allow that, especially since they subsidize my education. You know, I went through college, somebody pays for that,
uh-huh.
And I didn't pay for the whole cost. So it doesn't make sense to me that the government would be subsidizing a visa program to put me out of work, you know, especially when the government needs engineers as a matter of national defense, which is what I started working in.
Uh-huh.
But as I did more and more research, I found out that that's exactly what's going on. It is a big it is a big government and corporate conspiracy to bring in these foreign workers on H-1B visas to replace American workers.
Well,
so, once I came to this realization, and I was unemployed for quite a while, I was sort of going stir-crazy in my home, so I figured, well, okay, I'm going to start a website about this topic because it intrigues me, and, you know, it's something that very few people are talking about. So I came up with my website, www.zazona.com, and I've been going out of it ever since.
What is the significance of Zazona?
You know, there isn't a whole lot of significance. It's sort
okay.
of like, it's something that sort of sounds like Arizona, but not quite.
Yes.
And I guess it probably has about as much significance as Yahoo.com or Google.com.
Certainly.
And the interesting thing is that when I started this website out, I figured, well, the topic of H-1B will probably be about one or two web pages, and then I'll have to go and do something else. Well, if anybody goes to my website now, they'll find out it's a gargantuan website and growing daily, because this whole topic of importing foreign workers into the United States, it's actually a very big subject, and it reaches into so many others.
Now you have a job destruction newsletter.
Yes, and I'm probably more known for my job destruction newsletter than I am my website, because a lot of people consider that to be a valuable source of information on what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Now, I put out this newsletter as a free email, and anybody can sign on to my emailing list for free just by going to my website. They can find out the details on how to get my job destruction newsletter.
And you say here on October 20th, a Senate judiciary will consider allowing 60,000 more H-1B visas to be issued per year for the next 5 years. That will be in addition to the 65,000 a year cap plus the 20,000 exemptions approved in last year's omnibus spending bill. And you say the motivation behind this increase is to help pay for the federal budget deficit?
Well, that's what they say. There's a lot more, you know, as with any political move, there's the official reason they're doing things and then the real reason.
Yeah, and as you've, how long have you been doing this now?
I've probably been very active since about 1998.
Okay, so you're pretty well aware of the U.N. system, then.
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. And as we, well, as you see this picture, where do you see the American people in the whole spectrum of this?
Well, do you mean strictly in terms of the Senate session that's going on right now, or do we want to sort of take a big view look at things?
I think a big view look of things because, see, you know, 30 years ago, things were a little different, weren't they?
Yes, it certainly was. And where we're headed right now is we're being globalized. Now, we have to first know what being globalized actually means, because the multinational corporations have really copped on to this globalization concept, and they've sort of redefined globalism. So, you know, for the purposes of my discussion, I'm going to discuss what globalization means more from the corporate point of view than the old point of view of, you know, the liberals used to have this view of we want globalization because all the people of the world should live together and we should have diversity and, you know, all those highfalutin concepts. But the globalists nowadays could care less about those highfalutin concepts. But the globalists today are composed primarily of what I call corporatists. They are corporate people, and their sole goal is to maximize profit. Now, unfortunately for the American middle class, these corporatists have made the decision that American middle class people earn too much money. And the reason they don't want middle class people to earn money is because they want to pay cheaper wages. So what we're really seeing here is a move to exterminate the American middle class. And it's all driven by greed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big picture. So what we had 30 years ago was a very big and viable American middle class that was growing and people were upwardly mobile. What we have today is a shrinking middle class where the lower middle class people are dropping into the ranks of the poor. The upper middle class people are dropping into lower middle class positions, and a very few select people continue to get richer. Now, part of this globalist, part of the globalist plan to eliminate the American middle class is to use immigration. And that's primarily, you know, the aspect of globalization I want to talk to you about today is immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
No, I see Arlen Specter and Senator Ted Kennedy are behind this H-1B visa program.
They absolutely are.
And these are career politicians that have been in for as long as their life as holding a job for all intents and purposes. They've had a lifetime job in the Congress and the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, why do these people continue to stay in office, I wonder?
Well, you know what? The American people keep voting them back into office.
Well,
because the American people are very blissfully and willfully unaware of what these politicians are doing. You know, these politicians aren't operating in a vacuum. You know, there's really two forces in politics in our nation that we have to consider. One is the money that rich lobbyists can throw around to influence our Congress. But the other is the American ability to be able to go out and vote. Well, if Americans don't vote, or if they vote in stupid ways, then what happens is the corporate lobbyists win by default. So what we're seeing here is a victory by the corporate lobbyist, really by default, because the American public, the American voter, you know, for whatever excuses they want, they might not vote, or they vote along partisan lines. But the bottom line is they keep coming back and they keep voting these politicians that do the wrong thing back into office.
We'll continue on the other side of the commercial pause and address this issue, the vote fraud and the choices that you have to vote for. We'll be back to continue with Rob Sanchez. Zazona.com is the website. Partner to our website, AmericanExpose.com. Welcome back to the broadcast. Rob Sanchez is our guest. Zazona.com is his website. It's a partner on our website, AmericanExpose.com, America spelled with a K, not a C, on purpose, obviously so. This is, you know, vote fraud, the computer counting of the ballots, the high expense of running for office, and the high expense is the fact that you've got to get the word out about the fact that you're even running for office. Very expensive to run for office today, and this is all built upon the problem that we have with these same career politicians staying in office. At this point in time, we have these directions, global governance, the State Department and their move on migration. It's a tough one when the State Department doesn't publicize it except on their website that they migrate millions to this country, Rob.
Yeah, well, immigration is a topic that's completely or almost totally avoided by the media, and it's certainly avoided by our politicians whenever they have. And the reason, you know, I like to use a term of what these globalists are really up to. Their real goal in using immigration is to set up a system of global labor arbitrage. Now, we really have to think about what global labor arbitrage means from a corporate point of view, because that's what we're getting. What they want is the world to be just a vast sea of interchangeable workers that they can... The corporations want to be able to pit these workers against each other so that they can get a unit of labor for the lowest possible unit of cost. You know, it's really that simple.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But what they're using migration for into the United States is because they want to bring in cheap foreign labor to take the jobs of more expensive American labor. Until the point that Americans are so desperate, they will be forced to take the job, you know, the salary of the cheaper foreign labor. But you see, this is a downward cycle that the American middle class can never actually win at. Because if you look at the huge population of skilled and non-skilled workers in the rest of the world, they will continue to come here and underbid the American worker until all workers of the world are equally destitute, which is exactly what the globalists want to do. And immigration is a very effective weapon, and they're using it right now, today, in the Senate. Now, if I could, I'd like to digress a little.
Please.
Because I want to explain more about what's going on in the Senate today to subvert American workers. It's something that I hope people are listening to. And I hope they will do something about it, because there are things people can do about it. But let me divert a little, because I really don't know, you know, how much the people that are listening to your show know about visas and guest workers. It's all very complicated. And I'm just going to try and make things a little simpler, or I might confuse you and everybody else.
Well, very good.
Can I get a shot at it?
Very good. And we'll have a commercial pause in a few moments, and we'll just have you continue on the other side of that. Go right ahead.
Okay, let me first begin by saying that if we look at the topic of immigration, there is one type of immigrant that comes to the United States for jobs, and then there's other types of immigrants that come here for other reasons. They may be political reasons, lifestyle, whatever. But I want to talk about the ones that come here for jobs. Now, there's two ways you can come here to get jobs in the United States if you live in another country. You can come here illegally, and then you're an illegal alien. Or you can come here legally on a work visa. Now, the work visas is very important to understand, because that's what the Senate is hoping to increase today. There's two types of work visas. One is called a permanent visa, which is commonly called a green card. Those are people that want to come here to work in the United States on a permanent basis and eventually become naturalized citizens. So they want to stay here. That's the whole idea. Then there's another large group of visas called non-immigrant visas. That term sort of throws people, non-immigrant, but that is the legal term that our government uses. These visas are commonly called guest worker visas, and they're temporary in nature. The idea is that foreign workers will come into the United States, they will work for a certain period of time, and then they will leave. Now, some of the most common visas we have for non-immigrant visas are called, there's one called an H-1B, which is typically used for skilled workers, you know, college educated.
We'll have you pick it right up on the other side.
I will.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Keep your thoughts. We're with Rob Sanchez. Zazona.com is the website. He's a partner at our website, AmericanExpose.com, America spelled with a K. Continue to listen, listeners. Very important. Welcome back to the broadcast. Once again, Rob Sanchez is with us. Please continue where you left off, Rob.
Okay, I'm going to try and finish my little tutorial so people can understand more about the non-immigrant visa business, because we really have to understand these issues to really comprehend what the Senate is up to right now.
Yes, and it's very important for the listeners to take notes.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's hard to remember this stuff, and I've got a lot of it on my website. And if you get my free newsletter, the Job Destruction Newsletter, you'll get it beat through your brain, because that's all I talk about.
Yes.
But, okay, let me get back to this. We have non-immigrant visas, which are typically called temporary guest worker visas. And the one most people are familiar with is called H-1B. That's H-1B. And that's for what we call skilled workers, which usually, but not always, means people with college degrees. Now, the reason I'm most familiar with H-1B because I was replaced with one as an engineer. And when you talk to a lot of programmers or engineers, you will find out that's been the case with them. Like, you've had Vicki Davis on your show a lot. She's one of them. Okay.
One of the victims.
One of the victims.
Yes.
And a lot of people aren't necessarily outright replaced by them, but they find out they can't get a programming or engineering job because companies prefer to hire the H-1Bs. Now, an interesting thing to note here, especially since your listeners are so attuned into the WTO and free trade and all those fiascos, is that H-1B is actually mandated by GATS. I think it was about 1993. And we put H-1B into law in 1990, and our government actually, you know, our trade representative as part of a general, as part of the GATS agreement, agreed to put H-1B into GATS, which is a major mistake. The reason it's a major mistake is now H-1B is part of international law. So the United States can't get rid of H-1B unless it gets rid of GATS, which, of course, then they will be in violation of the WTO. Now, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe they'd send the black helicopters over here.
Well, they'd move up. They'd start to do sanctions on us with other countries' involvement because of the
right.
World Trade Organization being so big that if countries do not comply with World Trade Organization dictates, they can be sanctioned into compliance.
That's right. And they will. Countries have already, like India, have been officially complaining to the WTO that the United States does not let enough H-1Bs from India into the United States. And they're using the argument that the United States is not allowing the free flow of natural persons. I'm sure you've heard that term before. I love that. Yes, the WTO natural persons, you know, whatever the heck that is.
The movement of natural persons.
Yeah. Isn't don't you love it?
Did you think someday we'll have to move to another country to work?
I don't think Americans are considered natural persons by the WTO, so they'd assume we'd go out to the pasture and just either die or kill ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody else in the world is a natural person, not American workers, that's for sure.
Which tells us that our country's a target.
We're a definite target. They want to take us down, and they are taking us down in a very systematic way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are a target. Now, let me continue here, because I'm getting close to being finished. But
take your time.
I can't guarantee it.
Take your time.
The other type of major visa is called an H-2B. That's B as in boy, H-2B. That's for non-skilled workers, which is typically somebody that doesn't have a college degree. So you see, Chris, what we're seeing here is we've got visas to allow skilled and non-skilled workers into the United States. So when you think about it, what is left for American workers? There isn't any. You know, that's the whole problem.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Continue, please.
Now, H-2B is not mandated by GATS, but H-1B is, and the United States, by international law, must allow 65,000 H-1Bs into the U.S. per year. Now, that's cumulative, so like in 2 years, that's 65 times two. 65,000 visas per year into the United States, no matter how bad our unemployment is. We could have 80% unemployment, you know, I don't doubt that'll ever happen. It might. But if it did, by international law, we still have to let those foreign workers into the United States. It's locked into GATS, General Agreement on Trade and Services.
Isn't this amazing? Because since NAFTA and GATT, our business and industry has moved below the border and overseas.
Yes, it certainly is interesting, isn't it? Well,
yes.
We've got two things going on. We've got the outsourcing of jobs, and everybody knows what that is. But we also have the insourcing of jobs. And part of the reason they need these visas is because to outsource a job is not that easy, because you have to have somebody in the foreign country that has the skills to do that work. Well, how do you get them trained? You can give them an H-1B visa, bring them over to the United States, employ them for 5 or 6 years or however long it takes for them to learn our technology and our skills, and then you send them back to China or India. And there you've got a person that's capable of setting up your software engineering center or your semiconductor manufacturing plant or whatever it may be. So you see, outsourcing of jobs would be extremely difficult without immigration, and the free traders know this. That's why these free trade agreements so often have immigration as part of them. They're integral to free trade agreements. Like, to give you an example, NAFTA has what's called the TN visa. Have you ever heard of that one?
To be honest with you, I have not.
That is called the Trade NAFTA visa. That allows unlimited guest worker visas from Canada and Mexico. You know, there's this big controversy about guest worker visas from Mexico. We already have one. It took into effect in January 2004. Now, the interesting thing about the TN visa is that it's been unlimited from Canada since NAFTA was approved in, what, 1994?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Mexico, they had a 10-year time bomb in there. In the agreement, it said, 10 years after NAFTA takes effect, Mexico will have unlimited TN visas. But until that time, Mexico will be limited to, I think it was like 5,000 a year. So January of 2004 was the 10-year time limit. Now see, NAFTA and all these free trade agreements, they have timed agreements like that. And the reason they do that is because if when NAFTA was trying to be approved, somebody said, well, we're going to have unlimited guest worker visas from Mexico, that would have created a huge controversy. So what you do is you bury it in all this text, and, you know, if somebody questions you, you say, oh, don't worry, that's 10 years from now. You won't be in office by then. You'll be living in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So see, all of these free trade agreements have immigration as an integral part of them, and that's because it's very difficult to outsource jobs unless you insource them first. You need to bring the people in so they get the experience, they get the technology, and then they can bring them back home.
Let me look at an article here dated November 1st from the Nation and World section of the Oklahoman.
Okay.
It says, Canada is on track to accept 245,000 immigrants this year, a number that would increase under a policy set to be unveiled. Immigration Minister Joel Volpe was to unveil the sweeping changes to Canada's immigration policy later Monday, announcing the government intends to take in as many as 300,000 immigrants annually within the next 5 years.
Wow.
So,
I guarantee you those immigrants aren't coming from the U.S.
No. No, and the point is, every country is being immigrated to dissolve the sovereignty of each nation.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. And you're not going to dissolve the sovereignty until you destroy the nation's middle classes.
That's right.
So you bring in the cheap labor until you just knock the... You take the foundation out, because the bedrock of the United States, we all know it, is the American middle class.
It always was.
Yeah. And once you get rid of that, you don't have the United States anymore.
That's correct.
Now, let me get to one other visa, and then I'm going to start explaining what's going on in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The other major form of visa is called an L-1. It's an L-1 visa. And that allows companies to transfer employees. You know, if you're a multinational company, you can pretty much transfer them in unlimited numbers from anywhere in the world to the United States. Now, the L-1 visa, it's unlimited, it's unregulated, and unfortunately, L-1 is part of the GATS agreement also. So we're locked in by GATS to the L-1 and H-1B visas. We're locked into the TN visa by NAFTA. Nice, huh?
Well, it's a strategic plan that's well laid out, apparently.
Oh, absolutely.
That you're right on top of.
Yeah, they've laid out this plan for decades, and they're very patient about how they implement it. And the American people just go blissfully on while this is happening in the background.
Well, it's because it's not publicized properly, isn't it? Except by you.
Well, it isn't, because the media... You know, the medias are owned by major corporations who, guess what, support guest worker visas and cheap labor. So the media, by and large, has a vested interest in not publicizing it, and in fact, in blatantly supporting it. Now, there is the, there is a liberal faction of the media that just supports immigration for, you know, ideological reasons. And those type reporters, if they ever report on immigration, you'll hear them report on stories like, oh, those hardworking immigrants, all they want to do is come to the United States and work hard, 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 and pick our cabbages so we can eat cheap vegetables, right? You know, you read them all the time.
Certainly.
That's the typical liberal media. But the corporate media would rather just not even discuss the visas, because the corporatists just want to do this stuff all, you know, behind the scenes.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, let's get to what's happening in the Senate at this very moment. The Senate Judiciary Committee has convened a meeting to increase the number of work visas coming into the United States by up to 350,000 a year. Now, think about that. 350,000 more foreign workers coming into the United States, ready, willing, and able to take our jobs for less than what we're doing them for. That's a pretty frightening prospect when you think about the state of our economy. And yet that's what the Senate is doing at this very minute today. It's shocking.
Absolutely.
Now, let me get to a few more particulars of what the Senate is trying to do. Let me digress here a minute. You know, traditionally, when we look at how the government is supposed to operate, they come up with a bill, and then they vote on it. The bill either passes or it fails. But all the politicians that voted for it, they're on record, they're publicly accountable, and if the voters don't like what those politicians did on a bill, you know, they can hold the politician accountable if they want to. Of course, we know that the American public votes for 98% of the incumbents, so they rarely hold a politician accountable. But in theory, they could. It's just that the American public has decided to default and not use that option very often. But what the Senate Judiciary Committee is doing with this whole visa increase is they're meeting behind closed doors to slide this visa increase into the omnibus spending bill. And the reason they want to do that is because there will be no accountability about who put it in the omnibus spending bill. And then when the Senate and possibly the House approves it, the politicians will avoid accountability by saying, well, we couldn't vote amendments on the omnibus spending bill. We had to vote for it up or down. Therefore, we're not responsible for all these foreign workers coming in and putting Americans out of work. So that's what the Senate is up to at this very moment. And about the only one in the media that's been covering what's going on is the Lou Dobbs Show on CNN. Every other major network refuses to even mention this.
Now, let me digress a little bit to the,
okay,
to the State Department. They have the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. They say, reflecting the best humanitarian traditions of the American people, the U.S. government funds protection and life-sustaining relief for millions of refugees and victims of conflict around the globe. The United States also admits tens of thousands of refugees annually for permanent resettlement. The Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, headed by Acting Assistant Secretary Richard L. Green, is central to these efforts. Within the government, the PRM has primary responsibility for formulating policies on population, refugees, and migration, and for administering U.S. refugee assistance and admissions programs. PRM coordinates U.S. international population policy and promotes its goals through bilateral and multilateral cooperation. It works closely with the U.S. Agency for International Development, which administers U.S. international population programs. The Bureau also coordinates U.S. international migration policy within the U.S. government and through bilateral and multilateral diplomacy. Now, the State Department's they're answerable to no one.
Well, that's absolutely true, except maybe to George Bush.
I even doubt that. I think maybe the Federal Reserve System maybe has more control than George Bush. But what do I know?
Yeah. You know, the State Department does its own thing.
And it does, yes.
You know, they issue visas for all sorts of cockamamie reasons. But the bottom line is Congress gave the State Department the authority to do that. Congress is responsible for what the State Department does, and Congress could stop the State Department from doing these things anytime they wanted.
There's
the question is, why doesn't Congress?
There's the point.
Right.
Let's continue on the other side. Listeners, with Rob Sanchez, Zozona.com is his website. He has the job destruction newsletter, very important and vital, and we'll be back. Listeners, here we see from the Associated Press, naturally, the press of associations, President Bush and the thousands of demonstrators protesting his visit to Argentina will begin Thursday, that's today, have a common goal of reducing poverty. But the test for Bush will be whether he can convince others in the hemisphere to support his solution. Bush says nations can band together to create jobs through free trade, but he needs to overcome tough resistance from other nations in the Americas. Working to resolve their differences will be a major thrust of his first trip to Argentina, Brazil, and Panama. What do you think of that, Rob?
Well, I think Bush is definitely on the campaign trail to get FTAA passed. You know, there's no question about it.
And FTAA,
you know, this is the start of his campaign to, you know, strong-arm it in South and Central America.
And you know, according to various sources, including Joan Vion, FTAA is to be a done deal by the end of this year. She predicted that way back in 1999. FTAA to be completed by the end of 2005, which is just an extension of NAFTA, correct?
Yeah, call it like a mega NAFTA. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a NAFTA, but much bigger.
Yes. And
actually much scarier in terms of how much sovereignty it takes away from the United States.
Well, and there's the big problem that's been going on for years. We're going to hit the conclusion of the top the hour break, and there will be some callers that are going to want to ask you some questions. This is all very, very important, and you're as tuned in as Vicky said you are. You're very tuned into all of this, and it's vital to have this information. Rob, I'm so happy that she's alerted me to you. And, you know, the job sector's loss from Vicky is our blessing, although none of us want to be doing this. It's just the situation in our country demands that we do. We are in a deep situation that's all-encompassing. We have the business and industry going below the border and overseas. That's been going on for years. You have United Nations Industrial Development Organization, formed in 1947, as well as GATT, formed in 1947. The progressive direction of all this UN system and the State Department's U.S. mission to the United Nations has allowed this to happen and made it happen on purpose to destroy the middle class, to take away sovereignty from nations, to take away pride from individuals. Ultimately, no one's going to be able to own property in this whole spectrum. And this is why we do what we do here, is to try and expose this situation. Congress, you say, is the key. We've got to get our state legislators involved, but they're dependent on federal money in themselves.
Yeah. I think there are things that can be done at the state level, but
mm-hmm.
but we really need to do something about Congress.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people focus too much on the president. And granted, every president we have had within the last 20 years has been a ideological free trader.
Absolutely, and longer than that.
That's right. But the problem is that Congress has too. And if we had a Congress that opposed the president on some of these free trade issues, we could get somewhere.
Yes.
Because it's a lot easier to do something about a local congressman than it is a president.
Yes, I have a press release that I'll cover at the beginning of this top of the hour, and then we'll bring you back at the conclusion of the first commercial pause, okay?
Okay.
Very, very good. And if you want to get involved here with Rob Sanchez, the number's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. We'll start taking some phone calls about 20 minutes after the hour. And we have a press release, Earth Charter Plus 5, that you must hear upon my return into the second hour.